We've been discussing, or we've been reading through John chapter 17. We're going to finish John chapter 17 today. The prayers of Jesus, as Jesus was praying just before he was being betrayed and arrested. And we're in the latter part of chapter 17 there, where Jesus begins to pray for all believers. Today, if I was to put a title on the sermon, I would call it God's Love in Me. God's Love in Me. So in John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus says, these are all red letters. Jesus is saying, all these things are Jesus saying, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. All the believers to come, whoever begin to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, from the message that they will bring forth, the good news. I pray, verse 21, that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, speaking of the Father. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. 22, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. I think Pastor Peter was here last week, did a great job. It was fantastic having him in with his enthusiasm. He has a fantastic ministry and great things. And so the week before that, I think I gave a lot of words and a lot of Greek and Hebrew, and I think some of you went out of here like, blah, 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 blah. So, because all of those messages before that, I used a lot of analogies and word pictures and different things like that. So, as we finish up, and we're talking about Jesus praying, because it's so vital in our lives that we are a people of prayer. And, you know, I usually bring prayer and Bible reading together in one, because it's all communication. God speaks to you continually. He wrote 66 books for you, for him to speak to you through. He's constantly speaking. His word is alive. It is the truth. People say, I don't hear God. Well, I have to ask the question back. When was the last time you read your Bible? When was the last time you really sat down to read your Bible and say, Jesus, speak to me? So it's a prayer in the Bible, you know, hand in hand. It's a communication both ways. It's the truth of God that I have to constantly be aligning my sinful nature. Yes, born again, pressing into God, but it's the truth of God that I constantly have to be aligning my life with through prayer and Bible reading for me to be a Christian today. I think there's so much influence of the world today that just tries to rob us of absolutely everything. I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's just the busyness of life for Christians that I believe we get so busy, we get so fatigued and so tired and so run down that it's the enemy coming in and just destroying you. What's the sin? It's just distracting your focus from Christ to have you doing so many other things and not staying in him in a place of rest and prayer and Bible reading. So let's jump back in, and I kind of paraphrase back through these couple verses here that we've just read. In verse 20, Jesus says, I ask not only for these disciples, but Father, I'm praying for all those who will one day believe in me through the message. The message is for all of those that will once come to Christ, come to know Christ. That's you and I. He's praying for the believers to come. He's praying that they're born again, that because of the good news, the gospel that's being shared. I pray for them all to be joined together as one. Jesus is praying for like the birth of the church, Jews and non-Jews and all nationalities, that everyone would come together under a commonality of the love of Jesus Christ. The unity that takes place through the sanctification of believers. sanctified, set apart for a purpose. There's a unity that comes about people whenever they are set apart for the purpose of Christ. That brings a common unity. You don't see very many people running to church just because they're in unity with them unless they are believers or if you've brought a friend to church, right? Sometimes if somebody's in a very hard circumstance, it may, maybe I should go to church and try to get some help because they realize everything else has, or different things like that. But you see a commonality of the sanctification, the set apart unto holiness for believers. Jesus says, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one, then I pray for them to become one with us, one with Father and Son. Holy Spirit hasn't yet come because we are before the death, burial, and resurrection. We're before the Holy Spirit has come yet. And so, I pray for them to become one with us or one in us. Why? What's the purpose for us to become one in Christ? So that the world will recognize that you, Father, sent me. When we come into a oneness with Christ, the world recognizes the love of Jesus Christ. How and who through whom? Disciples and then all other believers. Verse 22 says, the very glory you have given to me, I've given to all the believers. Why? Why did I give them that glory as well? So that they will be joined together as one. And not only be joined together as one, but experience the same unity that we enjoy. You enjoy the unity that you have through your life in the Father and the Son. It's important to note that the key unity among believers is experiencing the glory of God that Jesus has imparted to us. As one with God through faith in Christ, He shares His glory with us. But we have been made one with the triune God through the blood of Jesus, right? Because of the blood of Jesus, we can become one with Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ through His disciples is a means to unity for us. And this unity begins with us through the belief and the thinking about God and the Father with the proper doctrine. The correct belief that we have begins to give a life of demonstration, and God's love will produce the unity between all believers. God's love in us produces unity between all believers. I know I'm using a lot of words again, okay? Verse 23, you live fully in me, Jesus said, and now I live fully in the believers. Why? So they will experience perfect unity with the Father and the Son. It's the Greek word as to shrink into one, to bring into one is what it's talking about. The Father, the Son, and you all being shrunk into one. When we are all shrunk into one and we look at one another, then hopefully when I look at one another, our opinions become vaulted and shrink down, and we don't have such an opinion about one another believers, because I see the Father, the Son, and I see Jesus all in one shrunk together. So my focus about other believers becomes seeing Christ in one another and not being so critical about one another. The world will be convinced that you have sent me, because the world will see that you love each one of them. You love them with the same passionate love that you have for me. God loves you just like God loves Jesus. The same. Try to get that wrapped into your mind and into your emotions, your heart. God loves you just as much as He loves His own Son, Jesus. He wants the indwelling of Himself, His Son, inside of you, always one. Wow! That's awesome. But I think we get so distracted from that, and we, all the other things of the world pulls us so far away from that. The mutual indwelling of the Father and the Son, and the Son and the church, remember? See the church, see the steeple, open up the door, see all the people? What makes up the church? The people, you, me. The mutual indwelling of the Father and the Son and the church, you and me, is a means of the unity and the ultimate expression of God's love. God's love being seen through the church, which is being seen through you. In John 13, Jesus says to the disciples, hey guys, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Here's the new commandment I'm going to give you. That you love each other just as much as I, Jesus, have loved you. Jesus gave his life for all of them and for you and I. He says, here's something new, guys. Here's a new commandment for you. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. Why? Why, Jesus? Why do I need to love him as much as you love me? Because when you demonstrate the same love that I, Jesus, have for you by loving one another, everyone else will know that you truly are a follower of Jesus Christ. Once you follow me, once they see the love in you, they will believe that you love me, that I love you, and that you're a follower of me. Jesus has instructed his disciples to love each other so that the world may believe in the reality and the true love of Jesus Christ. The loving relationship of believers to each other is the greatest witness to Jesus Christ. The loving relationship of believers to one another is the greatest witness to Jesus Christ. So let's be real a second, right? Not all personalities mesh. Even in the church, right? Sometimes it takes a whole bunch of Jesus in me to love somebody else back. Look, you're finally all waking up. You're smiling at me now. Right? Like there's a reality to this. You still have personalities. You still have stuff in life. You still have whatever it is, dynamics that have taken place or take place. There's still all those things. But doing so proves God's love in us. That's what I'm saying. If you can get yourself to the place where they're a professed believer, God loves them, God loves Jesus, Jesus loves them, and shrink all that into one, and change your perspective to be like, they're a lover of God. Smile and work through it. Don't say certain things that maybe you wish you would have did say or don't say, right? Like just let the love of Christ flow through you. The greatest, and I think it's funny, the greatest commandment you guys got from here on out, Jesus says, is you got to love everybody. But there's so much weight that stands on me loving everybody. Because the weight that's there is because the world's going to believe that Jesus' love is true. It's what's seen through the church. Right? Like, that's kind of a challenge for us. Is anybody else here human? I don't like anybody here, but I'm just saying, I'm not necessarily talking about this church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. I don't think Jesus looks down from heaven and sees, like, of course he sees one church, two church, two church, but he's coming back for the church, right? The church, not just one church. He's not just coming back for Acts. He's coming back for the church. He's talking about all the churches. So you just think about it. You have all the denominations in the world. Well, wow, that means everybody has a different opinion. Denomination, denomination, different opinion. This goes, no, it's supposed to go this way. No, it's supposed to go this way. We still have to love everybody. You still have to have that love inside. Everyone will know that you are my true followers because of the love that is in you for one another. No matter our differences, no matter if you got the COVID shot or you didn't get the COVID shot, no matter if you believe in the NRA or don't believe in the NRA, or matter your Assembly of God or Church of God or Protestant or Methodist or whatever, you got to get beyond that and love one another. Let the love of God flow and be in you. Verse 21 and 23, just reiterating it, it says it very clearly. Jesus says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in them. Here we go. And may they be in us. Why would they be in us? Why would Christians be in the Father and the Son? So that the world will believe that God sent me, Jesus. He says it again in verse 23. I am in them. Jesus is in the believers. God, you are in me, Jesus is saying. May they experience this perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So many loves. You love me, me love you, you love me, I and you, you and me. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Father, I ask you will allow everyone that you have given to me to be with me where I am. Then they will see my full glory, the very splendor you have placed upon me because you have loved me even before the beginning of time. This is experienced not only after we die, but also took place when the ascension of Christ took Christ up into the heavenly realm and seated him at the right seat of the Father. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, He raised us, the believers, from the dead, along with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Why did Jesus Christ seat us with him in the heavenly realms? Because we are united with Christ Jesus. We ourselves in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in all authority. And we ourselves, it says, with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So God can point to us in all the future ages to come and all the ages to come. Why is God going to then point to us, the believers? Because we are examples of the incredible wealth of God's grace, his favor that's bestowed upon us, and his kindness that is towards us. Why is he going to point to all the believers? Because it shows his grace and his kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, let me read this paraphrase for you. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. God's power raised us from the dead. His fullness fills us. His fullness, his satisfaction fills us. Even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, the customs, and the values of this world. That you were, this is talking about unbelievers, when you were an unbeliever, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with its authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. For me to be in the obedience of Christ, I'm constantly allowing and aligning myself back up with the truth of God, his word. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our own self-will. What we used to do, we lived by whatever natural cravings we had. Our thoughts, our minds dictated our living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath, like everyone else. But God still loved us with such great love, even though he still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even though we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, as we ascended within him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realms, because we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the all coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of God's grace and of his kindness. We are on display of God's richness of his grace and his kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. It was only through this wonderful grace that we believe in him. Nothing we did could ever earn salvation, because it was a gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. No one will ever be able to boast for salvation, because it's not a reward for someone who's done great things through their human strivings. We have become, I love this, Dan, you write poetry. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fill the destiny that he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus Christ. It's like people read our lives as poetry. Do they really see the poetry of Christ in our life? Is it speaking to them as such, you know, poetry is such a cool way to write and think and bring the imagination out of people. Are you poetry of Christ's love in other people's lives? Are you that's being shown to others, that experience of his love is flowing through you into others? Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny in the good works that we would do to fulfill his life and his calling. Colossians says that since we have been raised to new life in Christ, we set our thoughts and our sights on the realities of heaven. Remember, Jesus looked up towards heaven, he thanked him, and he had confidence, hope that Christ, or that God, was hearing his prayer. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand, enthroned at the place of all power, all honor, and authority. Think about the things of heaven. Remember, weeks ago, we had the formula, F-I over T, focused, intensity, over time, daily time, each and every day, focus. My focused intensity over a period of time with God included creates momentum in my life, energy and momentum for me to press through each and every day. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. This is your temporary place of abode. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden in Christ, in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed in the whole world, you will share in all his glory once again. It's talking about sharing in the glory of Jesus Christ. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, we must continue to follow Jesus. We accept Christ as the Lord and the ruler of our life, right? You accepted Jesus as your Savior. You accept him just like you accepted Christ as the Lord. Now you must continue to follow. I love that scripture there, because sometimes it seems like people are, yep, I'm born again, I'm a Christian, and then nothing's really changed. But it says continue to follow him. What do I mean by continue to follow him? Let your roots go down into Christ. Let your roots go down deep into Christ, so that your lives may be built on Christ. Your roots, like a tree, go down deep. You ever see when a tree falls over, you know, usually the roots go out as far as the limbs did? You ever notice that? They're massive. If you ever go hiking, you see rocks and all the roots are exposed. It's really neat to see where all those roots go. It's like a transparent look underground. Like they just go and go and go and go. Let your roots go down deep into Christ and let your lives be built on him. How do I constantly let my roots go down on him and my life be built on him? And it's simple, and I don't mean to beat it to death, but it's prayer and Bible reading. It's the daily, everyday rhythm of my life that connects me to him. Then what's going to happen? My faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. And then you're also going to overflow with thankfulness. Oh, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In Romans 15, Paul prays, I pray that God, who is the source of hope, will fill you completely fill you completely to a place of satisfaction with joy and peace. Fill you with what? Joy. Peace. That which passes all of my understanding. Why? Because I trust in Him. Because I trust in Him. Then what's going to happen? You will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. A life that demonstrates God's love and produces unity between all believers. Unity between all believers. So before everybody falls asleep, let me do a little illustration for you here, okay? So we are a vessel, right? Like this is my life, this is your life. This is just a clear tube container, right? And because I am human, I am always consuming something. I'm always taking something in. I'm taking in food. Think about how much stuff you haul into your house and never haul out of your house. You ever think about that? We are consumers. We consume. We are constantly, constantly, constantly consuming. We are a vessel. And we are constantly having things go inside of us. Music, poetry, words, people's words. What are those things that constantly go inside of you? Constantly we are just being filled with something. I have something in me, and I'm constantly filling myself. I'm a Christian. I read my Bible. I pray. And pretend like this metal pan isn't here, okay? It's only here so I don't make an absolute massive mess, okay? I'm being filled up. I'm constantly putting something in. I believe, I read, I have hope, trust, I go to church. Constantly, 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 I'm putting something inside of me. Music, life, whatever it is. Instagram, whatever, whatever, whatever. You're constantly, constantly, constantly putting something into your life, right? We're consumers. Am I filling up? Constantly, constantly. Am I full yet? I can do this for eternity. Never, 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 never will I be filled. Ever, 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 ever. What must I do in my life to become completely filled to fulfillment with a place of satisfaction? A place, when I'm pouring there like this, success. When I make $50,000 a year, I made it. You get to $50,000 a year, still runs empty. If I just made $75,000 a year, I am successful. You're not, it just keeps running out. If I make 6 digits a year, I am successful. Success is something that we create in our own minds. We define it for ourselves. I'm going to feel successful when I have this house, drive this car, marry this woman, have this many kids, look like this, drive this, do that, say this, right? We just keep emptying ourselves out. But when we put ourselves inside of Christ, when we include God in everything, we still leak because we're human. We still consume because that's just what we are. We're constantly putting something in. But this represents a continual rhythm of life through prayer, through Bible reading, through loving people when it's really hard to love them, right? For constantly dying to self and allowing Christ to rise within me. That's what begins to encircle myself. Being plugged into a community of believers and serving in that community and serving in places where, you know, I don't always do what I want to do, but I do what is right. A life of integrity, a life that actually is one that's, you know, I'm not a creaster. I go to church more than Christmas and Easter. It's more than just a Sunday morning Christianity for me. And so I still leak, and I only made this red so that you can see. So I constantly put something inside of me, and maybe now I'm doing less of Instagram and more of Bible reading. I stop and turn off Facebook and pick up a good Christian book. I put my earphones on and worship the Lord till 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm still leaking, but I'm contained now. I don't have a feeling of emptiness and overcoming of the world. And it just, I can do it now. I'm not constantly feeling like I need more. I need more. I need more salary. I need greater things in my life, because And all of a sudden we find ourselves where we come to a place where now we're overflowing in our lives with joy and love for other people. Other than just the people I live with, because if I really act like I love them, then life is a whole lot better. No, it's like a true, real joy. It's like a true, real love. And I just begin to overflow, not just in my little world, in my little emotions, and my feelings. It's not an overcoming now. It's I'm energized. It's not an overwhelming. It's I'm back to the cross. It's the God in me constantly. It's the shrinking into one. Me and you, you and me, God and me, the Father and you. And the world begins to see, because you can't help but to bubble over. We are those that will be experienced in the future. That you are the poetry that people read that reflect the love of Jesus Christ. How will I know someone is a Christian? Because they love others. Right? It gets really hard to love some people. I mean, not even just in the church, but outside the church. You gotta like, it really gets challenging outside the church, right? It's not just all in the church stuff. It's loving. Kindness, it's the overflowing of God's Spirit in my life into others' lives. May we be a people that's consistently pursuing the heart of God through prayer. May we be a people that's consistently pursuing the heart of God through prayer. There may be that unsettledness, the anxiousness, the hurting inside of you, but put your trust in God. Cast your cares on Him. Holy Spirit, do a work in us. Do a work in us, Holy Spirit. May we be so consistent in prayer that we become empowered by the overflowing of His Spirit inside of our lives. I mentioned a while back that one of the reasons we're talking about prayer is because I want to have the church doors open for half hour, 45 minutes, an hour for a time of prayer. Sometimes the worship team's coming in before Wednesday night service and practicing from like 6 to 7. And so I thought I might make that prayer time from 6:30 to 7. Or, you know, I don't know, we're working out a schedule, but there's going to be a specific time that we're going to get on the calendar. Maybe it's Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. It's going to knock those who work out, though, and, you know, different thing. But I want to have a time where the church doors are open for us to just be a consistent people of prayer, and you just come in and you seek God's face. Can you do it at home? Absolutely you can do it at home. But as we gather together as believers, let's be a church of consistent in prayer. We bring our thoughts to close this morning. We say, Lord, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, heal my union with you. Heal my union with you so that, yes, I still leak, but my union with you, my shrink into one, is a seal of my life where I'm not constantly feeling that emptiness or that loneliness because, Father, I love you. I believe you. I worship you. Restore our union with you, Father. There's so many promises in God that, you know, if anyone comes to Christ, they're a new creature. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. You need Him, and He loves you desperately. And we devote our lives, our whole lives, to you, Father. We surrender our lives to you, Jesus. Heal our union with you, Father. I pray that the river of life would fill us and overflow in our lives. Restore us, O Lord. Renew me and surround me, O Father. Saturate me with your love. Saturate us, Father, with your life. Father, help us to find our peace in you. Help us, Father, to continue to press into you and align our thoughts in you as we are intently focused on you all the day long, coming back to you, focused on you. If you're with me here this morning and you just want to raise your hand with my hand and say, Father, I want to restore a greater union with you. Will you raise your hand with mine? Father, I can see that in my life I'm maybe not always in that place of saturation with you, but I leak, and sometimes I just leak all over the place, and I'm constantly in a feeling of emptiness. Father, restore our union, Lord. Father, that love, help me to love others the way that you love me. And may that love be seen from everyone I come in contact with. They can tell that you're so joyful all the time. Where does this joy come from? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I am energized and not pressed down because it is the joy of the Lord that is my strength. Father, let your river of life fill us and satisfy us. Restore us, O Lord. Renew us and surround us. And Father, I pray for everyone here that you would just saturate them with your love and with your life. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can look towards heaven in confidence, knowing that the Son is sitting at your right hand of authority, that you have given us authority in you, Lord Jesus, by the power of your name. We thank you, Father. We look towards heaven as heaven, putting our confidence and our hope in you. Lord, I pray that you bless each and every one here today. Father, thank you for your grace. Salvation is a gift. It's nothing that's earned. Thank you for your gift of salvation. May we share that gift, that good news, with everyone that we come in contact with. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen.